going to talk about the reaction of students to the firing of Penn State football coach Joe Paterno last night. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Thursday, November the 10th. And we will welcome your reaction, too, to the firing of the football coach and the university's president. They were ousted over a sex abuse scandal at the university. And last night, students took to the streets. Hundreds of students took to the streets and tipped over a news van and decried the media. As we heard in NPR News, many of the students were shouting, "One more game, one more game," wanting Coach Paterno to be able to coach Saturday's last home game of the season. Why would students be reacting this way to this news? And we welcome your thoughts and questions as we talk with a guest psychologist. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. When I heard this news, when I got up early this morning, this happened in the wee hours of the morning, I immediately thought of a regular guest that we talk to about psychological issues, and Frank Farley, I'm happy to say, was able to join us. Frank Farley is formerly with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, former president of the American Psychological Association, and he is a psychologist at Temple University, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks very much for joining us on very short notice. But
you're welcome.
So, just give us your reaction to the firing of Joe Paterno.
Well, I think it's relatively understandable, other than the violence. But you know, when large groups of get together, you know, like flash mobs, things can get out of hand. Of course. But Joe Pa, as he's called, is the winningest coach in the history of college football, and he lives in and functions in a town that is totally and completely dominated by the university. I mean, it is the classic college towns of all college towns, and it's a relatively small town dominated by this huge university, and they happen to have this incredible coach. And so, you know, and he's in his mid-80s, 84, and he is by far the most famous person in at Penn State. And so there's a lot of identification with him, you know, pride in this having this the winningest coach. And so it's, to me, not, you know, it's somewhat understandable that they would like to him to have a final game and not to be summarily bounced, you know, overnight.
Yeah, he was saying that he was going to resign at the end of the season over this child sex abuse scandal. But the Board of Trustees last night decided that in order to send the right message, to somehow correct the reputation of the university, that they would, that he was fired immediately along with the school's president. So, is this sort of supportive of Joe Paterno, as expressed by the students, though, in any way dismissing the seriousness of this sex abuse scandal and how the coach handled himself in this?
It's hard to say, honestly. My reading of it was that he had, in a sense, apologized for not doing more. My understanding is, though, that he had reported it to administrators, which was appropriate, of course. And so it looks like, you know, from the outside, looking in, it looks like the administrators were the ones who didn't do anything. Paterno reported it to the higher authority on campus, and then it seemed to stall somehow, and nothing happened very little happened at that point going forward. So, you know, maybe it could be argued that he had done what he was capable of doing at that point, or what he had to do, which is to report it to authorities, higher authorities on campus. But he did cancel the press conference, which would have allowed people to, you know, get clarification. And that probably was a mistake, you know, to do that. But clearly, the Board of Trustees, it's such a mess, and it's become a national scandal, and et cetera. You know, they had to do it. They had to do the governor of Pennsylvania had come in swinging. He said that they had to clean house, and he's on the Board of Trustees and, of course, carries enormous weight. And so it was almost inevitable. I was totally expecting that what happened. And I guess the students feel that, you know, Paterno had done so many other fabulous things for their school. Why not let him play out his final days as coach? Mm-hmm. And he had already said he would be ending his career, you know, this year.
Yeah.
And why not cut him some slack?
Then there is, though, the point of view. I heard one commentator say that he left a very distinguished career in disgrace because what he did or didn't do was a disgrace. That he reported it to the administration, but then didn't follow through. Didn't bat an eye when somebody who was accused of actually raping a child continued to work, didn't say anything to anybody else after that.
Yes, and again, it's still kind of clouded in what are the facts and are there independent verifications of much of this, but it happened on his watch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the famous President Truman phrase, the buck stops here. He used to have a sign on his desk, President Truman, the buck stops here. And it did. And in Paterno's case, he was the boss of athletics. He was the boss of the team, that is. And the buck stopped with him. And so, you know, in a sense, it's almost like a harsh lesson for the students of that campus. You know, responsibility, doing the right thing.
Yeah.
If you're in charge, you know, the buck stops with you. And you can't just pass it off to somebody else. And I think that's the general feeling, and that would probably be the feeling in the room of the Board of Trustees, that it was his responsibility, it was on his watch, and therefore all of the people sort of who are in charge, like Graeme Spanier and the president and Paterno, simply had to go.
Let me, I'm talking a little bit more about responsibility, and I know Frank Farley, that given that you're at Temple University, you certainly don't want to look like you're, you know, bashing a rival school in any way, and that's not the point of this conversation. But talk a little bit about how what's going on in psychological terms, I guess, with university administrators, people who are very smart people, apparently putting the reputation of the school over the safety of children, which is what happened here, making that decision to sort of cover something up that was scandalous rather than come clean.
Well, you know, again, we don't know all the facts. Mm-hmm. You know, the famous phrase, we see it over and over again in American public life, when was it known, you know, mm-hmm. and who was it known by? That goes all the way back to Watergate and President Nixon. When did he know? And how did he know it, et cetera. And I don't know, you know, when the president of Penn State knew of this. Did he know of it? Is it even remotely possible that he didn't know? I mean, I can't imagine it. But, and so it's very hard for me, you know, without more facts, to speculate as to why the top administration didn't do more. It is simply breathtakingly shocking what happened and how it actually went on over time. But, you know, where the kids are concerned, the riot itself of last night and early this morning, you know, the kids identify so strongly with their school. You know, some schools, some kids, when they get married, have the school mascot come to the wedding, etc. I did a piece about the University of Delaware recently, where, you know, some of the kids at Delaware identify so much with their mascot and their university that they were having the mascot come to their wedding, and having weddings like on or near campus, and with such strong identification. And I can't imagine a university in America that has any stronger student identification with the school than Penn State, for many reasons, because of the small town and the totally dominated by the college, etc. And when kids, you know, identify with this absolutely iconic coach, you know, you can see them demonstrating. I can understand that. You know, I don't think any of us agree with it. You know, the bigger issue is not the iconic coach and his graceful exit, but rather the heinous crimes that appear to have been done. And so it's a sort of a lack of perspective. But it is understandable that, you know, riots happen when just a handful of people start something. We have terms in psychology like social facilitation. You know, things get out of hand. Emotional contagion. And so, you know, a handful of people may start something, tipping over the media bus or media van, as it happened, and then other kids pile on and join into it. And in a sense, the reason for the riot gets lost in the action of the riot itself.
We're talking with Frank Farley. He is a psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association, about the reactions to the firing last night of head football coach at Penn State, Joe Paterno. Students, hundreds of students, spilled into the streets at Penn State this morning after they heard the news. They what it apparently started out as an apparent celebration of Paterno, trying to show support and love, I guess, and it turned violent in some cases, where the crowd tipped over a news van and was shouting one more game, wanting Joe Paterno to be able to coach Saturday's game. And we're welcoming your reaction to what happened at Penn State and the firing of Joe Paterno. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today. It's going to be mostly cloudy with lake effect snow near Lake Superior. Highs today will be in the 30s. Tonight becoming cloudy, a slight chance of light snow in the far northwest. And tomorrow, a few clouds with highs in the upper 30s in the north to the upper 40s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7 o'clock this morning, we will talk about last night's presidential candidate debate. The Republican candidates for president debated in Michigan, where the state's economic woes took center stage. We'll talk about who said what, and we'll also talk about what some are calling a campaign-ending gaffe. From one of the candidates. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the scandal at Penn State. And last night, the Penn State Board of Trustees fired head coach Joe Paterno and the school's president. They were ousted over that child sex abuse scandal at the university. And we're wondering if what your reaction to that is. Do you think that the head coach, Joe Paterno, should have been fired? Or should he have been allowed to just coach out the rest of the season and resign at the end of the season? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Also, talking with our guest psychologist, trying to understand why this large group of students last night at Penn State practically rioted over the decision and their apparent allegiance to Coach Paterno. Do you understand that? And our first caller is Mike in Prairie du Chien. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. My question was whether any organization should have one iconic individual, you know, that's kind of seen as a deity and viewed by those in the organization as infallible, and your guest reaction to that.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think they should. And, you know, it's just a game. Its importance doesn't come close to the heinous crimes that are being alleged, you know. And so it's a whole issue of perspective and balance. And the crimes that are alleged to have been committed, in my view, are vastly more important than, you know, the track record of a coach of a game. And we do elevate some of these figures to stratospheric heights that's very inappropriate. You know, I would rather see on college campuses, instead of elevating the coach to these incredible positions, to elevate, you know, some of the great scientists, mm-hmm. or great creative people who are contributing to, you know, disease prevention, yeah. And health and all of that kind of thing, and solving some of the problems of society, rather than turning a coach into an icon.
Well, how would you be able to keep something like that from happening? How do you keep a Joe Paterno from you know, being beloved as he was apparently by the students, because football was such a huge deal there?
It's hard to see how you could do that, you know. But elevating them to this iconic status is, yeah. in my view, absurd. Yeah. You know, and they're paid. I mean, Paterno's salary would probably equal that of, you know, a few dozen professors, etc. And it's sort of misguided all around the country. It's not just Penn State,
right?
You know,
and those students though must. They must feel really crushed right now, too. This has got to be, you know, I'm thinking about the students that are going to, you know, having to deal with this scandal over their heads. It's such an ugly, you know, violent thing. And now these kids, some of them may come to Madison, in that we're having we're playing Penn State, I think, on November the 26th. And I'm also kind of curious how our students are going to react to their football players and that sort of thing. Any thoughts on that?
I wouldn't expect anything, you know, untoward, honestly. I just wouldn't see something like that happening. I think that in the next, that'll be about 10 days from now, 2 weeks, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a leveling off of the emotions here, and a kind of throttling back. The trustees, you know, again, the buck stopped with them, and they took the action. And I think people will sort of gain perspective that the crime here was much more important than the coach to deal with. And the coach was at the end of his career anyway, but you know, you have a university that's never had anything like this, and so it is so negative and so heinous, you know, that the university, you know, that any university would have had to do, I think, what was done.
Yeah, but that's I guess without I know we don't know all the facts in the Penn State situation, though this has been a scandal that was apparently, you know, first discovered in the late 90s. This has been going on a long time, but in any case, I guess what I was thinking is your thoughts on an institution like a university, or let's say a Wall Street bank, or anybody else that sees a scandal but tries to cover it up because it's going to hurt the reputation of the institution, no matter what the crime. What causes that sort of thought?
Well, that's sort of feeds in almost to the whole whistleblower phenomenon, that people get entrenched in certain positions. And defend their status, their position, and you know, and then it takes a whistleblower to come along and reveal the truth. So it's nothing new here. We even have laws to protect whistleblowers, you know, and it just looks like in this case, not much happened. And now that it's sort of come into the public view, it's shocking that nothing happened. And so, you know, commitments can run so deep and people become entrenched and maybe they worry about careers, and careerism raises its ugly head. And so it's so hard to know at this point. Again, we don't know much. There's just so much speculation that, you know, over time, I think, you know, a lot more will be learned.
Yeah. Well, how long, with our final minute, I guess any thoughts on how long it's going to take the students of Penn State to get over this?
My guess is that they'll get over it fairly quickly, you know, because it's I think they'll come to realize as the Board of Trustees probably goes more public, a new interim president is probably appointed and so on, they'll come to realize, and in all of the discussions that would normally go on campus about such a thing, they'll realize that the greater good is to do the right thing. And so it can be, you know, to use that phrase, a teachable moment for the whole university about this kind of heinous crime and what to do about it.
Thank you very much, Frank Farley, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Frank Farley, psychologist at Temple University, former president of the American Psychological Association. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.